Hello, my name is Jean-Baptiste Tuzet. I'm the producer of this album, and I'm going to tell you a true and beautiful story about music and friendship. We are in the month of May 1987, at the Roufflerie, a famous bar like musical cabaret located at the foot of Montmartre in Paris. That night, a friend of mine, Evelyn, took me for the first time to this incredible place, which later became a legend. I was 27, and I had just presented my first musical program on the French national radio, France Inter, a program called Crooner. Yes, Crooner, like Frank Sinatra, Nat King Cole, Ray Charles. These singers were not of my generation, but I was lucky to discover them in the huge Radio France record library. In fact, my first real musical passion was Django Reinhardt. It began by chance at the age of 17 when I found a vinyl record with his songs and began shyly to replay the grace notes and melodies on my guitar. It must be noted that during those times, the 80s, there were no clubs in Paris where no one could listen to this music. So, that night, a friend of mine took me to a small club called La Roufflerie, located on Rue Caulaincourt, at the foot of Montmartre in Paris. It was a cabaret, like nightclub, with no windows facing the street. In this unusual place, one could meet all sorts of people. Actors, bohemians, bourgeois, poets, artists, and the curious, of which I was a part. Upon our arrival, I immediately especially remarked the musicians. One with a guitar who looks like a bearded Slav. Later, I learned that his name was Serge Camps, and that he is the owner of the place. On the bass is a young man with a soft and friendly face. He is Frank Anastasio. At the guitar solo, a young man with high cheekbones like the gypsies. He is Angelo de Bar, who later became one of the world's best gypsy jazz guitarists. And finally, the third guitar, a full-blooded Frenchman, Laurent Bajata, who also later contributed a lot to the growing wave of gypsy jazz in France. But for now, on this warm Friday in the month of June 1987, my friend Evelyn and I were savoring the atmosphere while sipping vodka orange. The music in the place was a mixture of Russian, Romanian, jazz standards, and some successes of Django Reinhardt, such as the inevitable Nuage and the Minor Swing, being performed by the young guitarist Angelo de Bar in front of a captivated audience. Under the animation and charm of Serge Camps, which gives soul to the place, and over the many empty glasses, the atmosphere warms up. People continue to enter, greeting us with broad smiles. That's when a man, obviously more spirited than the others, enters, a true film-like appearance of a star, a kind of Tex Avery character with a hint of an Italian mafioso, the style of a Jewish American Mel Brooks look-alike. This incredible man entered the bar, accompanied by a woman dressed in a fur coat, very elegant and smiling. He had just passed the door when the orchestra stopped playing the Russian melodies to play some modern swing. It was then, just as he entered in the bar, accompanied by the music, that the place suddenly took on the accents of a Berlin nightclub of the 30s. I saw and heard that would become for me a memorable experience, with a musical revelation. It was the first time that I saw the jazz musician Bertie Cortez singing songs that are forever stored in my memory, like the unforgettable tune "Bei mir bist du schön."
Bei mir bist du schön. Ah, let me explain. Oh, bei mir bist du schön means that you're grand. I try to explain again and again. Means you're the fairest in the land. I could say Bella Bella, even seven de Barish language. Only how's me tell ya how grand you are. I try to explain again and again. So kiss me and say you'll understand.
I am at the Rue Fleury, the legendary Parisian cabaret located in Montmartre in Paris. As a young 27 years old radio announcer, I am surprised by the spectacle and by the festive music I have just enjoyed. The singer has the look of a movie star, with a voice worthy of Luis Prima and Al Jolson. Who's this man? With the audacity and self-assurance of a young newcomer to radio, I immediately greet him and ask, "Who are you?" "I am Bertie Cortez, you know. I am an actor, comedian, master of ceremonies, and singer. Oh, it's great. It's fabulous. And it's great fun for my wife. She likes to party." I immediately entered into a big discussion with Bertie Cortez, with many questions. "Where did you start? What are you doing now?" And many others. I learned that he had lived in France for several years and was proud to have worked with the film director Patrice Leconte, often in earthy supporting roles. I learned that he was a mixture of English, Jewish and Spanish, and that he had traveled and worked around the world as an actor in England, a master of ceremonies in Australia, singer in South Africa. He was also the host of a comedy cabaret in Pigalle named Nouvelle Ève in Paris, and that regularly after the show he liked, along with his wife and friends, to continue the night visiting places where there is good music. After having enjoyed his performances, I told him that I would like to invite him to appear on my radio show dedicated to crooners. He immediately accepted and asked me if I like Sinatra. I answered, "Yes, very much." He immediately stood up in front of me, a magnificent image in a double-breasted jacket, and sang in an atmosphere of jubilation the famous standard, "Ladies a Tramp."
1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 5. She gets too hungry for dinner late. She loves the theater and never comes late. Ain't gonna bother with those people that she hates. That's why the lady is a tramp. Won't go to crap games with those barons and those earls. Won't go to Harlem in those sermon and those pearls. Won't dish the dirt with the rest of the girls. Why? Man, the lady is a tramp. She loves the free, fresh wind in her hair. Life without care. She's broke, that's all. It's California, it's so cold and it's down. That's why the lady is a tramp.
Subjugated by his spontaneous interpretation there in the tavern bar on Rue Caulaincourt at the foot of Montmartre in Paris, I immediately asked Bertie to come to my radio talk show, which he immediately accepted and said, "We could do it like Sinatra if you want, you know, with a big band." That's how our friendship began. I will never forget those crazy parties along with Bertie and my girlfriend Evelyn in incredible places such as the legendary nightclub restaurant La Calvados, located on Rue Pierre Charron in the 8th arrondissement of Paris, a favorite place in the past for Sammy Davis Jr., Romy Schneider and the Dominican playboy Porfirio Rubirosa. They all liked to party until dawn and often did. When we arrive in those amazing places, which today are no longer in fashion, the musicians would immediately play a favorite of Bertie's, knowing that it was once again party time with Bertie. After making two or three movies and a memorable radio series, Bertie was happy to talk about the motion picture business and his favorite crooners. I managed to have him at the Rue Fleury. Soon after, he volunteered to organize the Django Reinhardt Festival at Saint-Mois-sur-Seine. Luckily, this led to more activities. Without real enthusiasm, Bertie accepted to record a demo album, encouraged by yours truly and other friends. Alas, in his mind, he saw it only as a test set of magnetic tapes. In fact, in the late 80s, it was not very far from the truth. For during those years, what we now call gypsy jazz was reserved, in fact, for the happy few insiders. In those times, there were very few places in Paris where one could listen to good music. Bertie soon realized that his friends, Serge Camps, Angelo Debar, Laurent Bajata, Frankie Anastasio, were certainly excellent musicians, but that the time for their sound had not yet arrived. A dozen years later, La Rue Fleury, the famous bar, closed. And Serge Camps, in the same time, created a musical group called Opus 4, a favorite of the party-loving evening millionaires. The young Angelo Debar, now influenced by Slavic music, continued to grow and soon join up with the accordionist Ludovic Beyer. They soon became one of the most interesting gypsy jazz bands. In the late 80s, they were soon joined by Birilli Lagraine, Stokelo Rosenberg, and many artists to live fully the gypsy jazz adventure. Meanwhile, Laurent Bajata, after having survived the difficult 80s, continued to perform with his orchestra. The very young Frankie Anastasio also continued and formed a group named the Black Ace, known for their subtle blend of gypsy music and modern songs. Meanwhile, Bertie Cortés continued to perform in films produced by Patrice Leconte and on television and publicitary spots. He soon forgot the gypsy orchestra and the wild parties at La Rue Fleury. From time to time, each tried something new, but the party was over. At the dawn of the thousands, with the growing success of the gypsy guitarist Birilli Lagraine and the unexpected return of Cuban music, catalyzed by the filmmaker Wim Wenders, exotic live music was suddenly in vogue in France. That which was once confined to a few special restaurants suddenly became great, natural, inspired, authentic, acoustic. Then began the delightful music produced by the young musicians members of the community of travelers, the famous style of gypsy swing. During those times, yours truly made his first steps from radio to television and produced a book on those wonderful singers, the crooners. The crooners and gypsy jazz have always gone well together, and to understand why requires knowledge of these romantic travelers and to be literally fascinated by the great American singers such as Frank Sinatra or Dean Martin. Thus, in 2004, during a TV show, thanks to Patrick Sébastien, I was able to present a crooner named Michael Adell, a gypsy who was able to match vocally Tom Jones, Engelbert Humperdinck and others. After the success of this program, I proposed to Patrick Sébastien, who also loves jazz and gypsy music, that he presents a gypsy singer on his show. He accepted, and Bertie, true to form, was obviously awesome, and Patrick immediately decided to do a TV special with the gypsies. So, in 2005, I called Bertie Cortez, who I had not seen for several years, to propose an appearance on this famous television show. His wife answered to my call, and by the sound of her voice, I could tell that there was something wrong. I immediately tried to be pleasant and announced, "Bertie will be happy, we are going on the air at 8:50 p.m. It will be great." After a short pause, Madeleine Sobet then told me that, who was a man of steel, always enthusiastic and full of life, and that he had suddenly become a victim of Alzheimer's disease. So I promised to make him a copy of our famous demo tape, with the hope that listening to his music would help to make Bertie happy. We are now in the year 2006. I had a copy of Bertie in my car. When my friends heard the music, they were immediately impressed by this unusual combination of crooners and gypsy jazz. That's when I first thought that it would be a great idea to include in my second book dedicated to gypsy jazz a chapter on Bertie as a jazz and gypsy crooner. It would be like a rebirth for him. The idea soon became an obsession for me. Soon after, I was in the Harmonia Mundi office, the largest distributor of gypsy jazz music in France, in a meeting with one of its directors to promote some of my works. Rather than having him listen to my recording, I decided to tell him the story, the one I am telling you. As I told my story, I noted that he was impressed. He interrupted me and said, "Jean-Baptiste, I love your story. Now please, tell me what was the music you heard when the guy opened the door of that club on Rue Caulaincourt?" I pressed the play button, set the volume at maximum, and he listened to Baymir Bizdushan, sung by a legendary singer who had not known Bertie Cortez, the gypsy crooner.
Baymir Bizdushan, ah, let me explain. Oh, Baymir Bizdushan means that you're grand. I try to explain again and again, means you're the fairest in the land.
Unfortunately, Bertie's health continued to decrease before I was able to complete the album. However, his wife and I were able to convince him of the importance of completing it for the enjoyment of his many friends and admirers. In early 2007, our album was almost ready, but Bertie's Alzheimer's disease has increased and he was not able to work anymore. Bertie Cortez deteriorated slowly and died on the 14th of December 2009. Finally, in 2012, the recording company Crystal Records released the legendary album, whose royalties are received by his widow, Madeleine Cortez. In the meantime, I was able to find other bonus tracks, documents, such as some live recordings in Paris at the famous Petit Journal Montparnasse in 1996 with Sammy Goes, the crooner of the jet set who liked to sing in the Paris club with his big band, often in duo with the singers he liked. Bertie was usually accompanied by his wife. During these convivial evenings, Bertie enjoyed the company of his friends, me, Sammy, his wife, and the film director, Patrice Leconte, with whom he had often worked.
Oh, c'est tout l'orchestre. On se fait. Oh, là, là, là. Oh, on se regarde là. Et là-haut. Écoute, on est là.
I've got you under my skin. I've got you deep in the heart of me. So deep in my heart, oh, you're really a part of me. 'Cause I've got you under my skin.
Ladies and gentlemen, I wish that the success of his record will be perceived and enjoyed by Bertie up there in the mythical crooner's starry paradise, accompanied by Frank Sinatra, Dean Martin, Sammy Davis Jr. and Bertie Cortez, of course. We will do our best to help. We pray that this record and his eternal vitality will serve as an encouragement to fight against Alzheimer's disease. My greatest wish is that when listening to this record of Bertie Cortez or watching one of the Patrice Leconte films, that you will always remember the face of the gypsy crooner, the man who didn't realize that his greatest pleasure, singing, would be his ultimate success. Please excuse my French accent, ladies and gentlemen, but it was important to me to tell you this story.
J'attendrai le jour et la nuit, j'attendrai toujours ton retour. J'attendrai qu'un oiseau qui s'enfuit vient chercher l'oubli dans son lit. Le temps passe court en battant tristement dans mon cœur si lourd. Et pourtant j'attendrai ton retour. Et pourtant j'attendrai ton retour. Et pourtant j'attendrai ton retour.